discussing, last week we began discussing women and Minyan, and we saw that there are, I mentioned there are fundamentally three schools on the question of women and Minyan. The first school maintains that women count for Minyan whenever they're obligated equally and maximally with men. And fundamentally the reason why women don't count for Minyan for public prayer is why? Because they're not obligated in public prayer. And public prayer includes Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. But in any case where women are obligated equally with men, they do count for Minyan. And we gave examples, we started with a whole series of examples. For instance, we talked about the laws of martyrdom where women, where there's a minyan changes the lachot. We talked about Mikra Megillah, that according to the Ran, that women are obligated equally with men. Okay, now exactly what the distinction is, in 2 weeks, next week, we'll talk about Megillah. I know a little bit late, but that's your fault. Because it's one of these one fantastic tangents. Let me just say before I get the bottom line about a woman's Megillah reading. I'll give you sheets and the name drop. I'll be a name dropper next week. A woman can have a woman's Megillah reading. The leading post can have permitted it. Women in their Megillah reading can count as a minion. 10 women count as a minion. Therefore, they can say Haravit Bivenu. And the bracha they should preferably make is on Mikra Megillah. Okay, even though the Rav Tukhachinsky and some poskim mishpurah seems to suggest that you say the Shmoa Megillah, majority poskim argue that the best bracha to make is Al Mikra Megillah. That's the bottom line. Okay. Now that there are problems with that psak, and we have to know what the problems are. Next week we'll discuss the several problems and we'll deal with that. But let's finish here with Megillah. So anyway, the reason women can't count for public prayer, Kachivusha Borcho, Kriyat the Torah, Kriyat Haf Torah. Okay, and all those public prayer things, it's because women are freed from all these let me just mention one example I didn't mention last week is Parshat Zachor. Parshat Zachor, as we did last Shabbat, the Shabbat before Purim, there's an obligation to remember that which Amalek did to us. There's a fundamental machloket whether women are obligated or not obligated to hear Parshat Zachor. And it's very close. That is, I would say that the majority of poskim, based on just counting up poskim and the consensus, seems to be that women are not obligated. Many people gave a testimony that in communities in Europe, many communities, outstanding communities in Europe, that women did not go to Parshat Zachor for sure. Okay. Nevertheless, many great poskim know that women are obligated. And Ovadia Yosef, in his analysis, says that since there are such a large minority of poskim, the whole of women are, it almost sounds like a 60-40 split or 55-45 split. That even though the majority of poskim hold that women are in chayav and a woman can rely on that if she can't make it to shul, that women should make all effort possible to come to shul. So it's a mitzvah to say shalom as mantra.
So why should
Wow, very good. That's because the why you remember it. For what purpose you remember it? To go to war.
Right.
It's good to go to war. You say that's so. On one side said since women don't go to war, since the whole purpose of remembering is to go to war. They say, well, therefore, no, women are not, and it's true, you're right, it's a mitzvah, it's a shas man yirama, but the purpose is clear to go to war. And since it's the men who go to war, women don't go to war, therefore, one side says, therefore, women are free. Other poskims say, not so. Maybe the women don't go on the front lines of battle. They do go to war in the supportive elements. And furthermore, how are the children going to learn that the male children will learn that they're supposed to go off. The mother doesn't teach them. So that the nation has to keep a memory of it, male or female. That is, it's a mitzvah that says shalom zman grama. The mitzvah is to remember. The purpose of the remembrance is to pass on from generation to generation. The memory. And that women can do equally as men. Even though in the carrying out of Tinchet Zeh Amalek, only the men do that. But the Zachor is a different mitzvah. Public reading the parsha. Okay, now we're getting to technicalities. Let me just say. So again, the public reading, the Gemara says, Zachor lo tishkach. And they say it means you have to read. It's not enough to remember, just remember passively. You have to read. Now, so again, majority of poskim say, since they say women are free. A large, large minority, some women are obligated. And the way we normally do it is the shul in a parashat Zachor. We even take it a second time, In many communities, it's called the innovation of B'nai Brak, but that's what it's called in the Sfarim, but that they had a second reading. It's done in many, many communities around the world. Now, even according to those poskim that hold that women are obligated in parashat Zachor, okay, some poskim hold they don't have to, let's say a lot of poskim hold, like Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Lichtenstein, they say you don't have to hear it from a Sefer Torah. You just open up a Chumash, and you read it from a Chumash. The obligation to read it from a Torah is part of your Kriyat Torah obligation, which women don't have. The men have. Okay? So some say that women can read it from the Chumash. So they don't have to come to shul, they can sit at home and read. So that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein says, that women can't come to shul, they're just open up a Chumash and do it. And that's even according to those who hold. But in any case, the reason why I'm trying to point out is that there's a very interesting tshuva of the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer is Bar Mitzvah Drasha. Let me tell you. This is a three-page Bar Mitzvah Drasha. It took me about four times to read to understand. If he wrote, I mean, he was a brilliant guy, but maybe he is that brilliant. I don't know. But anyway, in his Bar Mitzvah Drasha, he writes that my Rebbe Rav Nassim Adler holds, okay, that women are obligated in Parshat Zachor. And if the obligation of Parshat Zachor is to read from a Sefer Torah in a minyan, then women can count for a minyan for Parshat Zachor. I'm just trying to bring the point that he's sending, remember, there's several points here which we part company with. His premise is A, the women are obligated. We just said, well, most women, most of us can say women are not obligated. B assumes that you have to read it from the Sefer Torah, and you have to read it in a minyan. Okay? Those three premises, that's a minority opinion. Majority posting the whole, the women are not obligated. The women, even if they're obligated, don't have to read from the Sefer Torah. And even if they read it from the Sefer, they don't have to read it in the minyan. In fact, the second Megillah Torah reading, Parshas Zachor that we had here, in fact, it's on all of the world, does not have a minyan, as the women there. But that's sort of mimonoshim. If they're not obligated, they don't need a minyan. I mean, you can work it both ways. And if they are obligated, you have the 10 women there. You can work it both ways, you know, sort of mimonoshim. But again, it's that's the Chatam Sofer. So he says that women can, even though women are not obligated to create the Torah, if they're obligated to create the Torah, a Parshas Zachor, they can't for minyan. Again, I'm just trying to attempt to show you that the concept of obligation and the concept of minyan go together. We talked about zimun v'shem, why women can't say elokeinu when they bench. They can, three women can make a zimun together. But why can't they say elokeinu? Why can't they give a minyan for zimun? Say the postgame, and this is Rishonim and Achronim. Rishonim, in fact, said it. Sefer Menuchah says it on the Rambam. Because women are not obligated in zimun. Women can make a zimun, but they're not obligated in zimun. And therefore, they can't form a minyan, because minyan comes with zimun. The minyan comes with obligation. All right. So, let's now move on
wait,
to...
I have a question. If minyan comes with obligation, but it says, what about the option to choose to do that? They don't have to say anything. But what if they choose to
tell them? You can't do something. Okay.
Does that mean that you can't...
No. Women can't opt. You can't opt. We talk about women's services, we'll talk about services hopefully maybe. What I'd like to do is talk about, next week talk about Megillah, we have to talk about women in Kaddish. Okay, and then after that we'll talk about, by the way, also try to think, I think that getting close to Pesach gets problematic, okay? So next week I think we can meet, but after that try to make a decision about when you want me to stop, when we take a pre-Pesach break, okay? This is because... we discuss now Pesach on Friday. That week, of course. Now, what about the week before the Monday? Is that all right?
Yeah.
I will let that pass. I will tell you, however, that for 20 years of marriage, I cleaned the oven, and I did a good job. And after 20 years, I was done, but I bought a self-made. But if you're in the that women never count for a meal. And what's the logic, what's the position of this school? It's actually based on a Gemara. Okay, now before you jump, don't jump too hard, we're going to read a Gemara. You know, let me lead you through. The Gemara is attempting to understand whether there's a concept of an optional zimun. Can three men are obligated, who eat together are obligated to make a zimun. Can two men form an optional zimun? Can they form an optional zimun? There's two men can say, can say nevaret, right? So, look at the third line. Well, let's skip the first one. The third line is in source 17. Toshma. Source 17, Toshma. Toshma. Nashim mezamnot la'atzman. Women can make a zimun for themselves. Vavadim mezamnim la'atzman. By the way, by the men in the Mishnah, it says, Shlosha shachlu ke'echad chayavim lezamen. Okay? But now when it talks to women, it said, mezamnot. The change of language clearly indicates, but you'll see it said explicitly later on from the Gemara, you'll see. Chayavim lezamen means you're obligated. Mezamnim means you can make a zimun. You'll see that it's been explicit, but already from the change in language, Nashim mezamnot la'atzman, three women can make a zimun. Vavadim mezamnim la'atzman, and three non-Jewish slaves who are partially obligated in mitzvot can also make a zimun. Nashim vavadim uktanim ratzu lezamen yem mezamnim. But women and children and avadim who want to make a zimun together cannot make a zimun. And the Gemara says because of pritzut. In fact, the Gemara goes on to say that even men and women together can't make a zimun. Okay? But the idea is maybe because the three are, each of them is of a shoot, you might think that they could go together. Like avadim is a reshut. You thought maybe two avadim and nishakit, because they're the same sort of, the same reshut status, you might think they could do it together. The Gemara says, no, they can't do it because of pritzut. But even men and women together can do zimun. Although the question was raised before, what about a husband? We talked about this last week. No, we talked about a husband and the adult children and the wife. Can they make a zimun together? Is that considered pritzut? And we said there's a view of Rabbi Simcha. There are a couple of poskim that might, but the vast majority of poskim say not. We don't permit that either. And we discussed that there's a special rule about eating together that it leads to more leniency, and the poskim said across the board we don't allow men and women to count together for zimun. Okay, we'll come back to that maybe a little later. Okay, so nashim avadim ktanim ratzu lezamen ein mezamnim. Even if they want to, then we don't allow them to. So the Gemara asks, let's go ask. Remember, the whole purpose of this Gemara is what? To try to question whether there's such a concept as an optional zimun, whether two men can make a zimun. Says the Gemara, we say that women can make an optional zimun. Even 100 women are like two men. Now, what does it mean, 100 women are like two men? It means 100 women, what? Are even the fact that you have 100 women, it doesn't make it any more obligatory. They're just like what? Two men, as far as what? As far as obligation is concerned, they don't become any more obligatory. So you can see what? You see what? That there is a concept of an optional zimun, and perhaps two women what? Two men could make an optional zimun.
What about two women?
What?
What about two women?
Two women? That's an interesting question. I mean, but three women is an optional zimun. Maybe if we establish an optional zimun by two men, maybe two women would also be a zimun. But the Gemara is going to rule it out. That's a very good question. But I don't seem to be discussing that often. I don't remember. I learned Gemara Brachot, and I learned the sugya several times.
If you have read the Hamazon, why can't you
be a zimun? If they have three women, they can make a zimun.
It is
obligatory
that. If you have
washed,
you have to say
Bishat Hamazon. Wash. You have to break Hamazon, not zimun. Not zimun. Zimun is Rabotai Nevarech.
Yeah.
Men can make, have to, obligatory to make a zimun. Two, three women have an option to make a zimun. Gemara says from the fact that you see there's a concept of optional zimun, right? Even 100 women, so you see that there's a concept of optional zimun, maybe two men also can make an optional zimun. Gemara says, no. Shiny hatam, it's different there. That there's a qualitative difference between three women and two men. Shiny hatam, it's different there. Di'ika de'ot. Well, there's a quantitative difference, but there's a quantitative difference that makes a qualitative difference. The ika de'ot, because they're intellects. They're intellects. Gemara says, what? We'll stop here. So what does he mean? Let's look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi. Okay, Rashi is in source number 18, to the left there on the Rashi strip. The filu mea ketrei damri, Damian, even 100 women are like two men. Li'inyan chova, with regard to obligation. De'enan chayavot lezamin, they're not obligated to make a zimun, even 100 women. V'im ratzu mezamin, if they want to, they can make a zimun. V'hu adin l'shan, that should be the same thing. That should be our model for a two-man zimun, that they're constant of option. You must say, no, shani hatam, it's different. Dika deot, because there are intellects there. The afal ga, dilinyan chova, inan chayavot, even though three women are not obligated, li'inyan reshut, deot shlosha chashive. And as far as intellects are concerned, as thinking individuals, there are certainly three women there. And it's important, chashive lahodot tvei, the three women give greater praise than two men. Di'ika mishum gadu lashem iti. Explain to you. The pasuk says, what's the source of zimun? Moshe Rabbeinu says, ki shem Hashem ekra havu godel lelokei. When I call out God's name, havu godel lelokei. You give praise. So they're talking about one saying, two responding. That you only have, we have three intellects, three minds, right? Or also, Rashi quotes a different pasuk. Gadlu Lashem iti. You too give praise to God with me. Three people. So you need three intellects. Three minds. He says, in the case of two men, two minds. So therefore the Gemara says, you cannot prove from here the fact that women, so the women's three optional zimun cannot be a model for man's optional, from the two men optional zimun. Okay. Now, Tosfos. So as far as Rashi's chat in the Gemara thus far, okay, this has nothing to do with generalization about obligation or anything. The concept of 100 women is like two men, right, refers to question of obligation. Tosfos, however, disagrees. Tosfos is the initiator of the second school. Look what Tosfos says in source 19. V'ameh nashi kitei gavida. Le'inan kibbutz tefila. It's not only for zimun that the statement is that 100 women are like two. Le'inan kibbutz tefila. U'linyan kol davar sheba asara. And for all matters that require 10, when you the women does not establish. They are deot, they are intellects, they are minds, but they don't establish a meaning. Okay. And since by zimun what we need is intellects, fine. But by minyan what we need, not intellects, but we need a minyan, testosus, women do not count. That's Tosushita. And there are many other Rishonim who hold it the same way. And others, Akram. This is the second school. And look at the Binyan Tzion. The Bnei Tzion. The Bnei Tzion specifically refers to Parshat Zachor. Look what he says. The Gam Im Ha'ishes, he's consciously rejecting the first school. The first school says that what? That obligation and meaning go together. He's coming out contrary to the Chatam Sofer I just quoted you. The Gam Im Ishav Eved Chayavim B'Kriyat Parshat Zachor, even if women are obligated in the reading of Parshat Zachor, Mikomakom, given the encoding of Sefer Torah b'tzibur, pachod me'asara, since you don't read from a Sefer Torah with less than 10, k'namrim b'megillah, bi'alif mi'ekdashti b'tov b'nei Yisrael. And we learned that it's one of the dvarim shebedusha, which requires a minyan, לכן צריך לזה עשרה אנשים גדולים שנקראים בני ישראל. Therefore, they need men who are called בני ישראל, שאין עבדים בכלל. שם אגב שהם חייבים בקריאת הפרשה, even if women are obligated לפרשה, מכל מקום, last line, אינם ראויים להשלים עדה קדושה, ואין זה תלוי בחיוב. It has nothing to do with obligation. Right out. He's clear, he's clearly excluding the second school. The first school.
The whole first school started
by saying minyan and chiyuv go hand in hand. We saw the Ram last week. He says it's impossible that women are obligated to make a megillah like men. It shouldn't count for minyan. Lo yitachen. So the Tosfos and essentially the minyan b'nei tzion following Tosfos says. Minyan has nothing to do with
faith.
Oh, we'll talk about a rational thing. Yeah, we have to deal with the rationale. Yeah.
Question of Tosfot taking the statement that 100 women equal 2 men. Gemara says that's not relevant
to Zimur. But Tosfot, they didn't throw out the principle. That's what Tosfot learned from the principle, that the statement, it doesn't mean 2, it could be 9. The number is not... The question 2 is relevant because it came to Zimun, but it doesn't mean that. It means they're not a minyan, okay? That they don't count for things that require counting, and yet they can count for Zimun because there's options. So Zimun is special. That's exactly what Zimun is saying. But the principle.
Because the Gemara and the Havamina thought.
That the exact number doesn't make a difference because you see there's an optional count and there's a three that if it were obligatory you'd need 3 men and 3 women, right? But the Gemara says no. You see the women is optional, so therefore the Gemara says well that's like 2 men would be optional too. One man though. Okay, let's continue. Now comes the question of rationale. Why exclude women? Okay, so a variety of reasons have been given. Rabbi Yosef Engel maintains that concept of community is dependent on the inheritance of the land of Israel. Okay, that if you have to be, to use terminology from England and America of the 1700s, the only people with the right to vote and run the community are the landed gentry. I mean, it's not such a foreign concept. It was a radical decision that said, I mean, that you didn't have to own land. But if you want to be part of a landed gentry, this is what Rabbi Yosef Engel says, if you don't inherit land independently, then you can't count for the Zimun, and therefore since women did not participate in the inheritance of the land, they don't constitute a community. There's a lot of problems with that rationale because women do inherit. They can own their own property. A woman can be part of a landed gentry just because the original inheritance didn't go per se through women, it went through men. That was how to divide it up. It doesn't mean women can't inherit land. Women can be gentry. The argument does not work. It might be, I mean, let me just sort of play, just try to defend him. I don't think this is a very good rationale. Because it says, it talks about inheriting the land. So maybe it goes with the traditional inheritance. I don't think this argument is... Abotain. Abotain is a generic term for male. Rabbi Gedalia Felder is in source 21. Rabbi Gedalia Felder was chief rabbi of Toronto. Rabbi Gedalia Felder, he actually brings the Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Yosef Engel in the book called Gilyon Eshas. That's what he says. V'alom ra'iti b'gilyon ha'ashas, the first reason I gave you, atam de nashim let bohu, source 21, sorry, tzivuf l'dvarim shebedusha, Mishum de lav bichlal kal ninu. They're not part of the community. V'inyan kal haynu shehem mekuralim u'mechubarim yachad. V'rayato, that they're gathered together. V'rayato mi'adam ru, kol sheyesh lo achiza ikri kahal. V'chol she'en lo achiza lo ikri kahal. Anybody who has landed is part of the community. Anybody who has not landed is not part of the community. V'nashim she'en lo achiza shelo natlu chelek v'aretz. They're not part of the call. That's an argument. Let's skip to the second paragraph. The lulayda mistapina. If I weren't afraid, the hayiti omer the lachen nashim enam bekal bechol bechlal kahal v'tzibur. The fee should be inan shiye adam masul lekahal v'tzibur kulo v'shash nefshav kechad mehem. Klamar she'en reshut acher alav ela Hashem levado. Okay, this is a concept that in some way a woman is not free because of her family obligations to do what she sees fit. She somehow has assuming that the family is a patriarchy, she has to listen to her husband. If her husband says, I don't want you to go to that shul meeting, she's going to shul meeting. Okay? And then he skips down, look at the third paragraph there, he says, Mishum lo pluk patwit kulam, because of no discrimination, they freed all of them, because after all, a lot of women were single, a lot of them were made divorced or widows, they certainly are bosses to themselves, right? So therefore, why can't they count for the cow? He says, because Torah made a rule, and they didn't make distinctions. Third attempt at a rationale. This is from Rav Moshe Meiselman, and again, it boils down to public roles, private roles. That's his text. Okay? Let's look at the last line. You can read the whole paragraph. Men are public figures and hence bind together to form a public unit. Women are more private and hence remain 10 individuals. That's his argument. Public unit.
That's not true today.
What?
That women are private. Women go out to organizations and
look, these are rationales to the it's very clear, let me put it this way. Let me say. In all these things, I think there are extreme molds. And I don't know, I think there's a little truth in everything. I'm not sure that it represents each of the reasons explains the whole truth, because each of the reasons has a problem. I do, however, feel, as a gut feeling, that there is a concept of minyan being represented, being part of a community, and all these minyan obligations are things that women have to do. I ultimately believe there's a concept of obligation that's involved here. Not that counting for the minyan stems from obligation, but the second school would say that minyan creates an obligation. If I recount for a minyan, that means I'm obligated to make sure that the minyan stands. I have to make sure. Chazal did not want to force women to have that responsibility. Because to have that responsibility of forming a minyan means you have a community responsibility to be forced out of the home. Chazal did not want to force women out of the home. Now the first school, you understand what I'm saying? The first school is not bothered by that. Because the first school says women can count for all things by minyan. The first school says public prayer the Chazal didn't want to force you out of the home. That's a regular thing that happens all the time, day in, day out. Chazal, when it came to public prayer, didn't want to force women out of the home. But other things that women are obligated to do equally with men? Because the question is fundamentally, why don't women count for public prayer? For men, because they're not obligated to public prayer. So I've just now pushed back the question one level. Why didn't Chazal obligate women to public prayer? Because they didn't want to force them out of the home. Right? Just one second. That's how the first school is. But in other things, which come from time to time, which don't demand a tremendous time obligation, they come once a year, a couple of times a year, you know, be it we have Megillah once a year, or Birkat HaGomel, things that come from time to time. Chazal said, that thing shall go out and be part of the minyan for that thing. Besides, most of those things are personal obligations anyway, not communal obligations. The second school says no. Chazal, and this is how I understand it, somewhere along Meiselman, but not exactly the same tact. Chazal did not want to create a minion concept by women, because minion concept means you have an obligation to the community. And Chazal did not want, they wanted to give women maximal freedom. But in making that choice, Chazal was saying, we don't want to force you to be part of the minion. Chazal said, then you can't. Okay, so Chazal absolved women of any connection to minion because they did not want to force them to have this obligation to the community, whether you show up to shul or you show up to any sort of minion.
You said something very, very
interesting. I should hope so. That we want to force the women. Chazal made the choice.
Are they prophetic?
No. But once Chazal, no, they could come to him. Okay, what's the problem with what I just said? The problem of what I said, okay, that's why I said every reason, I believe that's the MS. Okay, that's the reason. Chazal did not want to force women to have this responsibility. However, there are a variety of things where women are obligated to do them, and they have to do them in a minion. And nevertheless, they don't count for that minion. For instance, women are obligated to say Birkat HaGomel, so they got to do it, right? But they don't count for that Birkat HaGomel, according to the second school, in which they're obligated. All right? So again, one can argue lo plu. Chazal, when they decided to free women from the concept of minion, they did it across the board. And that holds water. The Chazal, when they set up minion, they said, we don't want to create, when it came to minion, we wanted to exempt women from this communal responsibility, and whatever minion comes up, they don't count. The other school, the first school, said, no, wherever they're obligated, they count. I mean, where they're obligated, they count. If they're not obligated, they don't count.
So, if you're a Chazal male, can you have a minion of women?
According to the second school, definitely not.
According to the first school,
the answer is definitely yes. Okay, wait a second. That doesn't tell you what psak is. We'll talk about this. Psak works by hand raising. This is a very good question. Now, let's now go move on to the third school. So I would like to finish this topic tonight. For simplicity. Across the board, you don't make distinctions. You don't make distinctions, and it's used by many, many things in halacha. Okay? Lo plug simply means when I set up a legal system, I can't say, well, for this case, yes, for that case, no. Now, again, it's very often it's the halacha does do it. I mean, the first school didn't say lo plug, right? The first school said, no, there's a clear criteria. Clear acts to test, and we can, no problem. We can set up a legal system that way. Right. But the question is how you use it and how you don't use it. And if somebody would invoke lo plug, I could live with it. Okay? And I personally, my bias is to the first school. I must tell you honestly. My bias, it just, intellectually, it holds together nicely. The second school I don't like because I think there are a lot of problems with it. I don't think that you can obligate someone to do something in a minion and say, but you for that minion can't count. It just doesn't make sense. Like the Ron says, how can you obligate women in the Mikra Megillah? Tell them they can be Motzi men, and then tell them that they can't count for a minion for that. Now, the second school says, yeah, you can do it. Right? And that's what Chazal did. First school, the line of the first school says it doesn't sit with me. And if you ask me, as a Seichel Hayasha, it sits with me the first school. But I'm a halachicist. I have to take all the different schools. I have to be honest. You know?
So
where
do you stand? You stand in the second.
I stand in the middle of the three schools. I'll show you how I stand. I stand the way halacha stands. And I'll show you how we decide on that. Let's get to the third school. The third school is of the opinion. Third school opinion is that wherever they have to make a distinction between the purpose of the minion. There's a type of minion that creates a community and creates the obligation. There's, if I'm sitting at home, do I have an obligation to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu? No. When I come to shul and there's a minion and they get up to Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, then we have created the communal obligation for Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu. However, there are certain obligations which are not communal obligations. They're personal obligations. Right? If there's no minion around, do I have to read the Megillah? Of course. If there's no minion around, do I have to say Birkat HaGomel? Yes. These are personal obligations that have to be done in the minyan. Says the post, say the post can, in all those cases where they're really personal obligations, but I do them in the minyan, why am I doing them in the minyan? Why am I doing the personal obligations? Why do the minyan? To publicize. They're almost all cases either to publicize a miracle, to publicize the fact that a mitzvah is being done. Brit Milah. Why does a Brit Milah need a minyan? They say the fasim of the mitzvah. This is such a fundamental mitzvah. The minyan says you have to have a minyan. Okay? One could argue, now again, the paper hasn't been written yet. I'm working on Bashev Abraham. Why do you need a minyan Bashev Abraham? Does anybody know why? Because we want to publicize the fact that these couple are married. One could clearly argue that that's not a minyan. And if you want to begin to understand, can women count for the minyan shavrachos? Can they men count for minyan shavrachos? One might be able to begin thinking about what's the purpose of the minyan by shavrachos. Right? And that's how you have to begin the analysis of whether women can count. The paper hasn't yet been written, but I'm collecting sources on it. But that's how you have to begin. Now, according to this third school, even if women, okay, now we talked about last week the question of a woman's obligation to Mikra Megillah. We said there are two schools. One school holds that women are obligated equally with men, okay, and therefore Sephardi women, according to that's the Sephardi poskim, and therefore Sephardi women, can they read Megillah for Sephardi men? According to the Rekha Bat Yosef, the women, and we'll talk about this again in detail next week, in Shatam. Oh, bear with me. There is the Ashkenazic poskim, which are chosesh. That means they're concerned about a dissenting view. The dissenting view of the Baal Halacha Gedolah, who hold that women have a lesser obligation than men. That the men have an obligation to read, and the women have an obligation to hear. Now, that may seem a very strange distinction. We'll talk about it next week. So just bear with me. But nevertheless, it's a lesser obligation. Now, according to the first school, would women count for a minyan by Mikra Megillah? No, because women don't have a maximal obligation. You have to have the maximal obligation. But according to this third school, what's the reason for a minyan? Is this to create the obligation to read Megillah? No, it's to publicize. So therefore, most poskim, the whole purpose is pursuing Nisa. Why did the Chazal create this bracha ravitri venu? It talks about the miracle. Chazal required it because they wanted persume nisa. So therefore, according to the third school, even if women have a lesser obligation than men, according to the third school, even according to the Ashkenazim, where women have a lesser obligation than men, women can count for a minyan, according to the third school. Because the purpose of the minyan is persume nisa, to publicize. Not to create the obligation. Let's see. Yes.
Can you have a mixed minyan, or it has to be?
The answer is yes. If you don't keep distracting me, we'll get to it. Okay. Look at source 12, the Ritva. The Ritva dealing with the question of women making a minyan for Mikra Megillah says, Hilkach, Hacha Litzalfam LaYud, since the purpose here is to join them together for Yud, Einam Ela Lipasumenis Labad, what's the purpose of this minyan? To publicize the miracle. That's why Chazal requested on the 14th, and again, Purim Mishulash, when you read Purim on the wrong day, you must have a minyan. We mentioned that we must have a minyan. Okay, I'll talk about it next week. Lo chashiv tziruf kulehai. It's not a tziruf that's required to create the obligation, rather merely to publicize, keeping the chayavot, the becoming ilam mitzvot. Since they have an obligation, they can count. There's even the third school holds you have to have some obligation, right? You have to be obligated, but you don't have to have the maximal obligation. Therefore, women can count. Okay. Now let's analyze what that would mean. Let me just now give you, and I would say many, many poskim hold this way. But even poskim of the who are generally don't say women count for a minyan, when it's for persume nisa, or when it's to publicize the poskim, lots and lots and lots of poskim join the bandwagon and say women can count for such a minyan. So let me give you five concrete examples. One example is Birkat HaGomel. Okay? According to the first school, okay, are women obligated to Birkat HaGomel? Yes, equally with men. The fact that women don't, very often don't do it, that's the Chazal's, the Poskim say because they're shy, but they're obligated. And they should find an appropriate way of doing it. In our school, you know, the women are not shy, they get up a clock, they do it, and they say, those are more shy, get together after the kiddush and get people together. If you want to do it the brit, it's an appropriate time to do it the brit. After the birth, certainly.
You have someone do it for you?
Poskim say no. And very often, Ramah talks about a husband doing it because Ishto Kigufo and doing it, but most Poskim are not happy with that at all. And I'm saying there are communities where the husband does it, but they say they not to do it at all. They're not, I'm sure they're not happy with that at all. Let me give you, so when it comes to Birkat HaGomel, if you're in the first school, they're obligated equally, they should count. According to the second school, they don't count. Third school, what's the purpose of Birkat HaGomel? To publicize that you've gone through a dangerous situation, you come out. All purpose is presuming it, to give glorification to God's purpose. That's why you need to give praise to Hashem b'kal'am. V'romamu b'kal'am, that's the pasuk. Give praise to Hashem in the community, publicize it. So women count? Yes. So if I had asked the poskim to raise their hand, at the first school raising hand and the third school raising his hand, Jordy poskim, women count for minyan, by Birkat HaGomel. So that if women wanted to get together and have a minyan, they could do it. There are poskim who dissent, but there are proofs from Mishnah Berurah, Rechiel Zilber. There are a lot of poskim suggest that women can, in fact, count. Count for minyan.
How do you get to this 12 feet then? I mean, it's, you're not taking majority of poskim.
It's school, not
poskim. Well, actually, I'm taking majority. See, look, you have to go. What I did in this article is I start lining up poskim. Oh, he's in the first school, he's in the second school, he's in the third school. And then, once I do an issue, I take each issue and I analyze it. And it's very easy to do the, once you understand what the principle is, you know, sort of the back of the envelope calculation to figure out which, how to count a poskim.
How would the folks in the second school say?
That women never count.
No, but once they've been outvoted,
that
they raise their hands.
No, because it's not, no, they would still have, I hold that the premise is the second school. But I'm not in one of the schools, I just have to, many, look, you know, there's several ways, you asked me a good question, how do I poskim, how does one poskim shut it? One way is you go to your local Rav. The other one is you go to the Gadol Hador. And that's not always the same answer. Right? Your local Rav is as good as a Moshe Feinstein. Depends, okay? And then the third view is to take the consensus. Now, most postgim, generally take either Gadol Hador or the consensus. I'm certain if once a consensus is clear, they will say, Rav no poskim. It's a safe way to go. Okay? Because no, you assume that there's there is an element of vox populi, vox dei, that what the people say, and here I'm talking about the scholarly people say, is representative of Ratzon HaBohem, right? This has been thrashed out. Now when you count up, you don't count up every sefer that comes out. Right? You can't compare, well, Ari Furman, Do Furman says this, but Moshe Feinstein says that, you know, so it's two against one. It doesn't work that way, you know? Depends on your counting. You know, you can't count Aryan Frimmer and maybe his brother Shale is three and gets one. It doesn't work that way. And you have to weigh, you have to sort of weigh, but it's dealing with, you know, first level postkin, and you start counting up, you see where the majority falls, and then you can get a consensus sense of what consensus is.
But if you're like Rafa, if you're
Rafa, tells you one way, and the Dolat Dharm and other three have to follow the end, you ask, or you have to follow halakhically, you're bound by the rabbi you asked, unless you could convince him that he shouldn't count. There's a matter very often, no, that's not, you don't necessarily go around shopping around, but very often we had a lecture by Rav Henkin, and he talked about how to do it, but the fact of the matter is, if you go to your local Rav, and he said, it's us, sir, you're in a problem, you have a problem, okay? And that's why, you know, you should make sure that you go to a person who you feel is on top of the material. But now, a lot of posting, by the way, let me just say, let me tell you something very interesting. There's Pinchas Scheinberg, okay, who's a member of the Haredis, he's a big maker. But some of the biggest mekilim in our generation are the Eidah Haredis, for Fisher, is a tremendous maker. And Scheinberg, what?
Rav Shlomo Fisher?
With the Dayan and the Eidah, big maker. He's coolest there that I wouldn't even repeat in public. No, 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 the Fisher from the Haredi Mishlach. And then there's the Rav Sheinberg. Anyway, Rav Sheinberg says a very interesting observation. He says, since most psak nowadays is psak that's open and shut in Shulchan Aruch, you know, and it's just a question, do I pass like the Aruch HaShulchan, pass like Mishnah Berurah? It's all about, I can go ask my Rav. If he tells me it's usher, and I think that somebody else will send me mutter, and since it's all on poskim anyway, he's not being creative in his psak, then maybe I can shut Aruch. That's, he wants to argue that. It's a big cooler. I told you it was a big cooler. But he hopes that it's you know, they're just deciding which post-sec to rely on, but it's the different day they're running the post-sec. I didn't see it.
When you
talk about counseling, we'll get to it. Give me a few more seconds. Let's talk about a few more cases. The next case, the Megillah, majority of poskim hold that women count for minyan for Megillah. Near Chanukah, lighting Chanukah candles between Mincha and Maariv. In Shul, Rav Avadya said clearly says, if you have five men and five women in Shul, you don't have to wait till the minyan comes, you light candles. Nobody's yotzei. The purpose of lighting candles in Shul is persuminisa. The lighting between Mincha and Maariv, and as long as you have a minyan there, it's good enough. Brit Milah also requires a minyan preferably, and we have to deal with a few more questions. One question is, do men and women count together? Now, we saw that by Zimun, we saw the men and women can't count together. But we also, when we discussed that last week, we saw two fundamental reasons why they can't count together. The reason given by most poskim is what? Pritzut. But we also saw that the poskim in the very same breath said, but that's unique to a meal situation. They make this wine, there's, you know, levity, but you come to shul, you're doing something, you don't worry about such things. Okay? And in fact, the Chazon Ish says explicitly, and then that or the Chazon Ish and Mariel Diskin or Rabbi Lichtenstein, a whole series of Avadiyot Sefer, Chanukah, I just said it, says you can count men and women together, but men count, women count for men, they count together with men. However, there is a dissenting view, look at the dissenting view, which is quoted 11, source 11. This is the Sefer Itur. The Sefer Itur says, he runs counter to the Ran. The Ran says women can count together, but he says no. Ki hechi de mezamnev la'atzman ve'en mitztafa le'zimun hachinami enen mitztafa lechatchila. Okay, he says there's also a sneeze concept. They shouldn't count mitztafa to the men, they shouldn't count. Okay, first of all, he says lechatchila, which means b'di'evet, it does work. Second of all, some poskim learn the Sefer Itur to mean they don't count with men. But since they're obligated, even the Sefer Itur would agree they could count separately. They count for a minyan. He says it. He says the only reason we're worried about is what? Because like there's this pritzut concept, counting the men and women together, and he says it applies not only by meals, but everything. So he says, but many professional chat that they can count together with by themselves. Even the Ramah, look at source 13. Ramah says, "V'yesh l'stapek im anashim mitztafot l'asara." Okay, there's some of that where the women count for the 10 by Mikra Megillah. The Ramah, Ramah's issues, already in the Shulchan Aruch, raises the issue: can women count for minyan by Mikra Megillah? And he leaves it in a doubt. Says Rav Shraya Devlitsky, "I want you to know that what's bothering Ramah. He doesn't know whether the halacha is like." The Ran, who says women count together with men, if they count, they count together with men. Or like the Sefer Itur, which you just read, who says, no, it's a princess counted even by that. So Roshan Dolitsky, even according to the Sefer Itur, who's the big machmir here, women by themselves can certainly make it. So even according to the strict opinion, when women can count, they can certainly count by themselves. There's only men. However, the vast majority of poskim hold Right? And the halacha lemaaseh, and the most of the literature that's been written has been written by Mikra Megillah. And halacha lemaaseh, I know that Rav Lichtenstein and the Chazon Ish and Rav Shalev Diskin, who's the head of the Charedis, they counted men and women together from Mikra Megillah. Halacha lemaaseh. They counted. Okay. The last question we have to deal with, the very last question we have to deal with is a mechitza question. Because after all, by most things, if you're in two different rooms, if you're according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're in two different rooms, you can't count together. You have to be in the same room. So there's a very lengthy article. We'll see more about it when we discuss women in Kaddish. Okay? Women in Kaddish, we'll discuss, hopefully discuss in 2 weeks. Women in Kaddish, there's a lengthy article written by Yehuda Herzl Henkin. Talks about women saying Kaddish behind the mechitza. And his argument is as follows. When do we say that a mechitza divides the room into two totally different entities, that what's on one side of the mechitza can't count the other side of the mechitza? Okay, by the way, what's bothering him? Kaddish needs a minyan. The woman is standing on the other side of the mechitza. She's saying Kaddish effectively, that's the challenge. Effectively, there's no minyan. If the mechitza doesn't, so how does it say Kaddish? And effectively, his grandfather said, well, we could say Kaddish. So how does it work out? So that's where the discussion begins. We'll talk about that in detail. So he says, when is the mechitza present a problem? First of all, when you can't see over it. If it's up a mechitza that you can see over, he says, that doesn't present a problem. So no, it's a 5-foot mechitza, that doesn't present a problem. If it's like our mechitza, which is 6 feet, which you can't see, you might be able to see through, you can't see over it, so he says, that might present a problem. He says, but even that, he says, is not a problem, as long as it doesn't go to the ceiling. He says, the mechitza that they talked about, he says, in the halacha, they said it divides the room into two. We're talking about, if anybody remembers the old Ungana shushus, the mechitza went from the floor to the ceiling with a small little window, right, which were like the prad, which you could not even, which is like windows at the top, you couldn't even see through them. And they were like, at the top, just a little bit of noise came, you could hear. What? Second 70.
Separate building with one
white
glass.
Well, that's an interesting problem. If the woman can see, the woman can see in, but the man can't see that. I think there is, in one white glass, there is an angle in which you can see through. It's a head-on angle because it has to be polarized light. Anyway, the majority is, okay, so says Rav Henkin, if it doesn't go to the ceiling and if the two parts of the room are doing the same thing at the same time, they're joined. It's not a problem. And how does he prove it? He proves it from a very interesting tshuva of the Munkacher. The Munkacher Rav, Minchas Eliezer, who was a tremendous posse, and for our purposes he's good because he's in Gavashim, which means he's in the Machmir school. And as I said, the Machmirim give you a kula. The case they're talking about was they were going by train down to the Yerid. They were going down, they had the market, they went these big, essentially they were market days, and they would go from all over the Europe down to the market, and they would meet and sell their wares. And he says that the train seats were very high. And they went up very, very high. And the men wanted to join together to form a minyan. But the seats were very high. So could they join together? And the Munkacher says, yes, since they didn't go to the ceiling, and since everybody was doing the same thing on both sides of the seats, they could in fact count together. So essentially, that's his analysis of the mechitza, the similar sort of situation.
Isn't the audibility a factor? The audibility, isn't that a factor?
He says that the old European mechitzas, where they had a small window at the top, says that really men on one side and the other side could not count together. It's two separate rooms. But if it's not two separate rooms, if it doesn't go up to the ceiling, and both people are doubting that they can count together.
Saying in order
Could I resist the temptation of answering and save that for Sabbath year? Okay? It's relevant. This question is very relevant, but it's really in the deal when we talk about Tavish. Okay, I'm not backing off, I'm just mind blown.
Finish me.